So Denise, do you want to do a roll call for us?
Yes. Ms. Butcher?
Absent.
Okay. Mr. Glaser?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Mr. Kilduff?
Absent.
Absent.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Here.
Mr. Kochanowski?
Kevin, this is your call. Absent.
Absent. Yeah, sorry.
Mr.
Kevin, I gave you one for crying out loud.
I know. I'm trying to.
Okay, Mr. Lazarus?
Here.
Mr. Scheich?
Here.
And Mr. Semay?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Let's start with the flag salute. You all might join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. This is the March 16th, 2020 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting.
Kevin, just a quick question. Are you at the municipal building or are you on the phone?
I'm on the phone.
Okay. Is there anyone at the municipal building?
Me, Denise. I'm the only one.
Okay. Okay. Just wanted to, just for the record, okay.
Okay.
And for the record, we're doing an electronic meeting in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act due to the coronavirus outbreak, and specifically we're protecting against the spread of COVID-19.
Okay, and I did put the letter from the mayor and the agenda and the call-in contact information on, I posted it on the door at the public safety building where the meeting was scheduled to take place.
Excellent. We're gonna move through minutes and then we'll move to the public hearing. But just as a question now, is there anybody from the public on the call?
Good question. Okay, apparently not.
Okay, and then also, John, obviously you're here. Is Tom Behrens on?
Yes, I'm
I don't hear him yet. Oh, excellent.
Great. Okay, and what about Mike Wright? No, okay.
I don't hear him yet either. Maybe, Denise, are you on a hardline phone or on your cell phone?
I'm on the hardline. I did call him earlier. Yeah, I called him earlier.
Text him?
Yep.
Text him and ask him to hop on the call.
Okay.
And while you're doing that, Denise, we'll just do the minutes. We'll help keep track as well. But.
Okay.
Why don't we give you a minute to contact
Yeah,
Mike.
I'm almost done here. He just said
That's
to me,
right.
call
Take
me if you
time.
Need me, but I'm going to tell him so he can call in and stay on mute.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he had just texted me as I was about to text him. Okay.
Good. So we have meeting minutes, everybody, from February 3rd. They were previously distributed by Denise. Does anybody have any questions or comments on those minutes?
Ms. Kleinhans.
The only comment I
I just note that Ms. Butcher is listed as vice chair instead of Ms. Kleinhand. That's the only thing I saw. You know, Ms. Butcher was chair or vice chair last year. Ms. Kleinhand is vice chair this year.
Okay, I'll make that change. And also, Ms. Kleinhand did send in a couple of corrections that I will make. Thank you, Sue, as usual.
You're welcome.
It's anybody else? Yeah, page 5, the work session on the master plan. I know it's called the land use element of the master plan now, but at the time, I think during that meeting, we talked about the circulation element as well. I know that we've changed that, but wasn't that accurate in the minutes?
Yeah, that's true. That's a valid point. For the minutes, it should reflect both.
Okay, I'll take a look at that because I remember I went back and I listened to what you said, John, in the intro of that, and you said for the purposes of the meeting that it should now be called such and such for the rest of the night.
Oh, you know what?
And I thought I did that verbatim.
Get rid of it. Yep.
Later in the conversation we added the circulation element, or did we then change it back at that meeting? I know subsequently did, but at that meeting I'm talking about.
This is Tom, if I can chime in. I think the intent was to add both a land use plan amendment and a circulation plan amendment. That was the discussion at the time, and later we'll explain how that evolved, but that was the discussion at the last meeting.
Yeah, but I think we should rely on Denise. Whatever the recording said at that point in the meeting, that's what the minute should reflect. And so maybe it came later in the meeting when we talked about the circulation element. Maybe we can adopt the minutes as drafted, subject, give Denise some discretion to go in there, listen to the tape, and make an after-the-fact correction if she has to.
Yep, fine by me.
Yeah, I can certainly listen again.
I think that's fine. So does anybody else have any other questions or comments on these minutes? So if not, is there a motion to adopt those minutes with the edits mentioned and that comment that Denise will go listen and make sure that they accurately reflect what was said at the time about the name?
I'll make the motion, Rich Eich.
I'm sorry, I heard two people speak at the same time.
Yeah,
made the motion.
Rich. Mr. Scheich made the motion. Mr. Lazarus will second.
Okay, thank you. And I'll do the roll call. Ms. Butcher, she's absent. Mr. Higgins?
Yes, had on mute, sorry.
That's okay. Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes, I don't think I'm on mute.
Okay,
I
hear you now, yes. Okay. Mr. Kochanowski? Absent. Mr. Lazarus? Mr. Scheich?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, now we have no resolutions. Now we're at the public hearing. This is a public hearing for the Novacat Enterprises LLC, doing business as Country Square Plaza. It's the Sweet Melissa, I can't say this, Patisserie and Lucky Fortune Restaurant, Block 89, Lots 8 and 802. Applicant seeking relief for two existing uses. John, you can tee it up. Again, let me just ask, is there anybody from the public on the call?
No.
Not yet, Andy. So, let's start off by saying, for the record, I believe we have David Stern, who is the attorney for the applicant. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. I'm on the phone.
We have Joe Santelmo, who's the principal of Novacat, and he's on the phone, correct?
Correct. I'm here.
And, Joe, what is your position with Novacat?
I'm the owner.
Okay, but are you a managing member?
He's a managing member. Yep.
Managing member, yes. That's what you do.
Managing member. Okay. Eric Peller, who is the applicant's engineer. Are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
I'm sorry, what is Eric's last name?
Keller, K-E-L-L-E-R.
Keller, okay.
P-E.
Thank you, okay.
Then we have
Chris Raffano from Sweet Melissa. He says he's the owner, but Chris, are you a managing member?
Yes.
You're the managing member. Okay, is there anyone else on behalf of the applicant on the phone besides those four individuals?
There is not. This is David Stern. No, there is not.
On behalf of the board, we have Tom Barron, the board planning expert, correct?
Yes.
Some background noise from somebody. Hey, Tom, you're on?
I'm here, yes.
Is Mike Wright on the phone yet?
Yes, I am.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, and Mike, you are the township construction official?
Yes.
Okay, so can I ask all six of those individuals I just called to please raise your right hands wherever you are, and do you all swear that the testimony you're going to give in this telephonic proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you God, and I'm going to start. David Stern, you obviously don't have to be sworn. Joe Santomo, yes?
Yes.
Eric Keller, yes?
Yes.
Chris Raffano, yes?
Yes.
Tom Barron, yes?
Yes.
Mike Wright, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm going to let David Stern take over, but I just want for the record to describe what I've done. The application on the one hand is a small application. It's a waiver of site plan application to basically reallocate some seats from one restaurant to another. But it was very complicated for me to wrap my hands around. And so what I did in an attempt to make sure I understood it so that I could explain it and so that eventually, if it was granted, I'd be able to accurately draft a resolution, was I did something that I don't normally do. I drafted the resolution ahead of time, and in fact, it took six drafts of the resolution to finally get everything right. And when I say everything right, I mean understanding the history, understanding what the proposal is, and understanding what the conditions should be according to the township professionals if it's granted, and would be acceptable to the applicant if granted. So, with that said, who do you think the best person to describe this application is? Is it David Stern? Is it Joe Santomo? Or is it Tom Behrens? Because it can't, I don't want it to be me.
This is David Stern. I will certainly start, and if Joe or Tom has additional commentary to add, that's fine with me. First, I guess Joe and I want to thank the board for even being able to do this tonight with everything that's going on and all the hard work that Denise and John put in to even get to the point of having the resolution already drafted to make it clearer for everybody exactly what it is that we're asking for.
Excuse me, please. This is Sue. I'm going to have to recuse myself on this one. Sorry, I should have told you earlier, but I couldn't get through. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. Just for the record, we still have a quorum.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you all for doing this, and John, thank you for drafting the resolution. I agree that I think it's a small application, and what we're asking for are a number of small pieces that are all tied together, and it stems from the approval of Lucky Fortune Restaurant allocating 10 seats that it currently has the right to use to Sweet Melissa's, and a reduction in their floor plan, which has already been submitted showing the reduction in the number of seats. Approval of the traffic generation and the parking from what Lucky Fortune was allowed to Sweet Melissa's, and Eric Keller is going to testify a little bit about that. A waiver of the site plan allowing Sweet Melissa's, who is currently in Units 1 and 2, to include Unit 3, which is an additional 1,560 square feet, and they are seeking an additional 5 seats based on that additional square footage for a total of 41 seats, modifying a prior resolution to allow Sweet Melissa's.
David, slow down a little.
You're doing great, okay. But just slow down.
Sure. Fungal. Modifying resolution 2015-13 to allow Sweet Melissa's to maintain 41 seats through the 10 seats from Lucky Fortune and the 5 seats from the expansion into Unit 3. And finally, approving the new traffic generation and parking with Sweet Melissa's utilizing a total of 41 seats.
Okay, so just to make sure I have the facts straight, how many seats does Sweet Melissa currently have?
26.
Right. And 26 plus 10 from Lucky Fortune.
Correct.
Right? Plus
yep.
5 from the new space.
Correct.
And that totals 41, correct?
41, correct.
Okay, do all planning board members understand that? Put it this way, does any planning board member not understand that? Okay. David, I think that's a really good intro, and so why don't we put Eric Keller on?
Excellent. Eric, are you off mute?
I'm off mute.
Okay.
Let's get you qualified.
Okay.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Eric.
I'm licensed. Go ahead.
No, good. If you're ready, go ahead.
Okay. I'm a licensed professional engineer and planner in the state of New Jersey. I've been licensed since 1987. I did appear previously on this application. My licenses are still in good standing. I can go on, but I think that covers pretty much the key things.
And when you say you appeared on the prior application, you testified in front of this board on that prior application, correct?
Yes, sir.
So it's Kevin Samay. I have no problem. This he's testified before. Does anybody have any concerns on the planning board? No? Okay, we'll accept him as our expert.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Eric, have you had a chance to review the application and the documents submitted with it in their entirety?
I have.
And do you have any opinion about whether the proposed improvements will significantly modify what exists today?
There's clearly no change to the exterior, to the parking, to the circulation, to the sidewalks. There are no exterior changes. The interior changes of taking what was the Framework Stance Studio and converting that to really back-of-house operations for Sweet Melissa, the 5 additional seats are a nominal, negligible impact on parking and traffic associated with this retail center.
Okay. Will it have an impact on the currently approved site plan?
In my opinion, no. When you're taking interior retail, what was the dance studio, and just converting it to another permitted use.
And put it this way, this is John Drill asking you a question. It's your opinion that there won't be any impact on the current site plan, provided that the conditions that were drafted in the proposed resolution are imposed, correct?
That is correct.
I do not have any further questions for Eric Keller, if anybody on the board does.
Doesn't sound like anyone has any questions.
Okay.
But why don't we get Joe Santomo? I guess who do you want to put on first, Joe Santomo or Chris Raffano? Because I have just 2 questions for each of them concerning, I just want them to both represent on the record that both of these floor plans are going to be complied with that show the tables and the chairs. So who do you want to put on first?
Let's put on Chris first.
are you? Here.
Okay, Chris.
So Chris, give the board some background on, why you're expanding and what you're proposing to do. You don't have to repeat anything that David said, but obviously the business has been good and you're expanding, correct?
Yeah, just trying to fill demand with more production capabilities and try to utilize Space 3 with more state-of-the-art equipment to get things done more efficiently.
Okay. Have you reviewed the floor plan that is stamped received on March 11, 2020? It says on it, convert dance studio for Sweet Malicious, and it's signed by Keith Chambers on March 11, 2020. Have you reviewed that floor plan?
Yes.
And you're representing to the board that you promised that after, assuming the board approves this and you make these renovations, that you're going to comply with the tables and chairs shown on it and not increase it without coming back to the board first. Is that correct?
Correct.
I have no further questions for Joe.
Yep, that was Chris. I just have one question for Chris, and unfortunately it relates to exactly everything that happened today, and restaurants that are now told they cannot serve anybody sitting in the restaurant.
Yes.
The resolution that was proposed, which as of a week ago would have been perfect, indicates that he has to finish all of the permits and the plans and the zoning and the CO in a year from the day the application or the resolution is signed. It would be our preference if we could have that extended until a year from the date the governor lifts the restriction on people being allowed to sit in restaurants, because financially it's going to be a slight downturn, or maybe even more than that, for Chris in the short term.
No, that's a good point. Didn't even think of that. Kevin, what do you think?
I think that's reasonable.
Yep.
Anybody else on the board have a concern with it?
No? No, that sounds fine with me. This is Rich Scheich.
Okay.
And we're hoping in the short term that Sweet Melissa's does a lot more takeout business, because that's allowed, at least until 8 o'clock, I believe, although it seems to be changing quite often, so...
Correct.
Yes.
This is Mike Wright. I guess the good news is we are still issuing building permits, so it won't stop Chris from getting started with the construction part of what he needs to get done.
Yeah, I want to make sure, though, Mike, what do we have to do to make sure that he gets to, do the cooking and the serving of this stuff to people for pickup or delivery before the construction is completed? Do we have to change anything else in the resolution?
Yes, he's going to. There is actually one error on that plan from Keith Chambers. The plan that Joe, unless it's been corrected, the one that Joe dropped off at the window at Denise, says that the existing space is an A2. The existing space is actually a B use group because the occupant load is under 50. So the first thing Chris is going to have to do is to get that wall, that two-hour separation wall, installed before he can start doing anything, adding any tables or chairs, or even start to use that that third suite.
Okay, so Chris, Chris, are you aware of that?
I am, and I'd just like to mention, for small mom-and-pop shops, as of today, from here to Somerville, restaurants are in terrified that there will be no business or we're going to get shut down. So where I respect that the building permits are still being issued, right now I think what our main concerns as small businesses in the area is to be there for one another and make sure that we survive, using the word survive strongly. So I think what Stern proposed makes a lot of sense at this very crazy time in everyone's life. Thank you.
And
I, and I, And I do understand what he's saying about the wall.
Okay. And David, assuming that the board approves this, I'll end up doing another draft of this resolution. I found a bunch of things, the little things I wanted to change anyway, and you'll make sure I get that this condition the right way, okay?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, it just, because it just happened 3 hours ago.
Yeah, very good pick on your part. I didn't even think of that. All right, so does anyone else have any questions for Chris, or can we hear from Joe?
Let's hear from Joe.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a similar question that I asked Chris, but I'm asking you about the Lucky Fortune, because a representative from Lucky Fortune is not on the phone with us. So have you reviewed both the Lucky Fortune existing floor plan and the Lucky Fortune proposed floor plan?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and do you agree as landlord that, assuming the board approves the application, that your tenant is going to comply with the new table and seating arrangement shown on the proposed floor plan?
Yes.
I have no more questions for Joe.
Does anybody on the board have a question? Only answer if you have a question. Does anybody have a question for Mr. Santoma? Okay.
Can I just say one thing, John?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Joe Santoma. I just I really want to thank you, Denise, especially, and Mike Wright for really expediting this for us and doing what you did to get that resolution done as quickly as you did with all those iterations of it. We really appreciate it, especially in holding the meeting tonight in the situation that we're in. So, really, we truly do appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Yes, very welcome.
So, John, does anybody else have anything in terms of testimony? If not, I guess we're looking at the reasons to grant a waiver of site plan. And
correct.
And we all know them pretty much. But the way I have it set up,
it's the essence. It's in paragraph 7 on page 7. And it says, this is now talking about the site plan waiver to allow these internal renovations. And it's what I have the board saying is that the board finds and concludes that the additional space in Unit 3 can accommodate the expansion of Suite Melissa with 5 additional suites, particularly since it was previously occupied by a dance studio and since only a minimal number of seats are proposed to be added. Then I have the next finding saying the board further finds and concludes that the occupancy of Unit 3 by Suite Melissa will not affect existing circulation, drainage, building arrangement, landscaping, buffering, lighting, and other considerations of site plan review in accordance with Ordinance Section 165-36.183. So this is a 3 waiver, particularly since Suite Melissa is merely reoccupying the existing interior commercial space, and the issues of traffic and parking are separately addressed below. And then in paragraph 8, actually in paragraph 9, I have the board addressing the request to modify the conditions, and specifically paragraph A3 in resolution 2000, this is on page 8, paragraph 9, pursuant to this section, but it should be paragraph, another little change I have to make, A3 of resolution 2015-13, Suite Melissa was permitted use of 12 tables and 26 seats within unit 1. The applicant requests modification of paragraph A3 to allow for a total of 41 seats within units 1, 2, and 3, and that would include 10 seats allocated
and to be transferred from Lucky Fortune, and 5 seats resulting from the expansion into Unit 3. And then the way I have it set up, I have the board's findings as to the requested modification being that the board finds that there is a proper and reasonable change in circumstances whereby enforcement of the precise findings and conditions of the prior resolution would frustrate the continued operation of the use at issue, along with the use of Lucky Fortune. Specifically, the board finds that here, the applicant essentially wants to transfer and allocate 10 seats from one restaurant-type use to another type of eating establishment use and to expand minimally into an existing commercial space. The board further finds that requiring the enforcement of the precise seating requirements of the prior resolution rather than allowing for the transfer and allocation as proposed would frustrate the continued operation of each respective eating establishment use. As such, the board finds that it is reasonable and that good cause has been shown to allow for the modification. And then paragraph 10, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but that makes the findings and conclusions that there won't be any change in traffic generation so that the existing number of parking spaces will accommodate the change of the use. And then it has the relief in section C on page 9, and it has the agreed upon conditions starting on page 10 and going to page 11, and with that one modification of the condition that Mr. Stern mentioned before, I would suggest that someone make a motion to grant the application, and I'm going to make some minor modifications in this resolution, and I would hope that after making the minor modifications that you'll authorize Denise to sign it so they don't have to even wait till next month when the planning board meets again to adopt this resolution. That's my suggestion.
All right. Anybody on the planning board, everyone, any questions or concerns? If not, is there a motion to adopt, as Mr. Drill mentioned?
I'll make the motion. That's Sean.
Mr. Higgins?
That's.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Is there a second?
I'll second. This is Rich Shike.
Okay. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you, Mr. Shike. Well, roll call, please.
Mr.
Denise, go really slowly.
Okay.
Really slowly, please.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Mr. Kochanowski? Oh, I'm sorry, he's absent. Mr. Lazarus?
Absent.
Mr.
Yes.
That was yes for Mr. Lazarus?
Yes for Mr. Lazarus, sorry.
Mr. Shike?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay. So later, Mr. Stern, later tonight I'm going to make revisions to this resolution. I'm going to send it out to you first. Take a look at what I've done to that condition, make sure I got that right. Then you'll send it back to me. Then I'll send it into Denise to have her sign it and scan it and send it out to everyone tomorrow, okay?
That sounds great. Thank you. And, again, thank you all for accommodating the hearing tonight and for the hard work that you and Denise put in, John, again.
And welcome again. Thank you all. And good luck, Mr. Raffano and everybody with business.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you
night.
All.
Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Well, while they're getting off, we have one more item for the board to consider, and that's the periodic reexamination report of the master plan and development regulations and land use plan amendment.
And so for this one,
I'll open the public hearing on this one. Go ahead.
Yep. And we got to get Tom Behrens sworn. So Tom, can you raise your right hand and do you swear that the testimony you're going to give with respect to this matter is going to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God?
I do.
Okay. So Tom, even though we've gone through this at the last work session, for the record, this is being recorded, so let's dot the I's and cross the T's and go through this nice and slowly and give a summary and explain what's being proposed here and why you're suggesting that the board adopt this.
Okay, I can do that. Let me just make sure I have the right one before me in terms of the red line.
This is the one dated March 4, 2020.
Yep, that would be the latest version. And if the board recalls, the purpose of the reexamination report, which itself is an assessment of the master plan and development ordinance, was to address several contemplated rezonings throughout the township, address some land use issues pertaining to certain uses, and also provide an update to the various affordable housing developments throughout the township. At the last meeting, a number of typographical errors were identified, grammatical errors. There was the board had requested some further clarifications for certain issues and also some mapping changes. And then the board also directed us to prepare a land use amendment to, one, transition some of those issues from mere recommendations to become policies of the township. We were also able to address the state's new mandate for a statement of strategy pertaining to sustainability and sustainable development. So in flipping through the document, as was suggested, to identify all the various changes, trying to identify the first change we would have on there with me.
Okay, with Tom. You don't have to identify the changes because they, at the work session, they told you what changes to make, and you made them.
Correct.
I just want you to
correct
the record.
Yeah.
Summarize.
Yeah.
Not the changes, but all summarize right. The various, you know, high points and most significant features of each of the documents.
Okay. So again, with regard to the reexamination report, we implemented all the board's changes that were proposed. We took out notably the proposed use of self-storage facilities as an introduction of a new principal permitted use on page 23, and so what remains are distilleries, wineries, similar type uses, and electrical vehicle charging stations, and clarified that they are to be permitted as accessory uses in non-residential multifamily zones and should not be permitted outdoors in single-family and townhouse developments. That would be one notable change in the reexamination report. There was some further clarification on page 26 with regard to
Tom. Again, at the work session, we went through what the changes were going to be. What I want you to do in this public hearing is not go over the changes you made, because everyone told you to make the changes, and you made them. I want, if someone's reviewing this record, I want them to see what are the most important parts of, let's start with this reexamination report. So we know that, you know, you went through the criterion, right? The statute requires five or six things, right?
Yes. So,
what the statute requires, and then go to the bottom line with the recommendations.
Got it. So, as stated on page 2, the MLUL requires several items for a reexamination report of, again, the Master Plan Development Regulations Ordinance. They include, one, the major problems and objectives relating to land development in the municipality at the time of the adoption of the last reexamination report, two, the extent to which such problems and objectives have been reduced or increased subsequent to such date, Three, the extent to which there have been significant changes in those assumptions, policies, and objectives. Four, the specific changes recommended for the master plan or development regulations. And five, the recommendations of the planning board concerning redevelopment, essentially. And as John mentioned, those are the five items that were discussed, and that's basically how the reexamination report itself is structured. Following that, on page 3, we have a list of the township's previous planning documents, including master plans, various plan elements, and reexamination reports. On page four, we then have the report goals and objectives of the 2015 reexamination report, which for the most part remain valid. And we've just added a little bit of commentary there. In terms of the development regulations, we acknowledge some proposed zoning changes. One includes the property known as Block 68, Lot 3, to the proposal to revert the property back to its previous RC zone designation. Currently, it's in the OB1 zone. And it's the preference of both the township and the current property owner to rezone the site in order that it can be developed for single-family development, as, again, preferred by both the township and the current property owner. There were
on this one, before the township, assuming the board adopts this tonight, before the township actually changes that zoning of that property, they're going to have the township attorney make a motion in the underlying case from years ago where there was a consent order which didn't allow that, correct?
Correct.
Keep on going.
So again, that, yeah, as John, it's contingent upon that court approval. There are then referenced in the 2015 report a number of development regulation changes, some that have occurred, some that have not. The ones that have not are still being proposed at this time. We then move on to planning issues on page 6 in section 2.3. In the 2015 report, there was a proposed extension of Molasses Hill Road. This is no longer being proposed, as it's been determined to be, frankly, unnecessary and infeasible at this point. There is now a signalized intersection there, at which takes care of that issue. We then have the proposal for the ROM 1 zone at the intersection of Route 31 and 22. Previously, there had been a proposal to look at the future planning of that area, but it's been determined that Exxon is generally there and requires a substantial buffer around it, an open space to continue its current operation and facilitate the expansion that they've had there. We've identified that water and sewer availability is generally limited throughout the township. And will continue to be the case for the foreseeable future, and that has been acknowledged in the township's 2019 wastewater management plan, which was submitted last to Hunterdon County for endorsement, and ultimately will move its way to NJDEP for approval. We discussed updates regarding affordable housing in that several of the township's developments, the Beaverbrook Homestead site, the Willows and Annandale has been developed, I believe is accepting applications for leases if it's not already occupied by residents. Several durational adjustment sites, including the Headley site, LeComp site, 108 Alton Place, remain durational adjustment sites, and we are continuing to work on getting the Marukian site approved for the 9% low-income housing tax credits, and are doing some of the behind-the-scenes work to facilitate that. So once that's approved, we can move forward with the site plan application and the site can be developed. We then have an overview of the various, on page 8, the various Highlands Plan conformance tasks. We've done the housing element fair share plan. There was a resource inventory done in 2002. We now have a draft Highlands Land Use Ordinance that's being reviewed by a subcommittee, and it's going to be something that we're going to work on and try to implement this year in order to facilitate some of the affordable housing sites and developments within the township. There's also a proposed Highland Center designation around the Annandale train station, again, which basically recognizes that that area of the township is developed around a train station, has a mix of uses, and should continue to be or serve as a hub of the region at the crossroads of Route 31, 78, and 22. And the center designation will allow for greater development flexibility in that the township can determine the zoning and land use controls there and allow for greater flexibility than would the Highlands regulations if they were simply applied there. We then acknowledge on page 10 that the township adopted a new open space inventory or open space and recreation plan, rather, on December 17, 2018. A number of new sites were identified. The township had made several strategic open space purchases, including the CalFell site on Route 31 was a notable purchase by the township. And the township also is interested in purchasing or pursuing what's left of the LaCombe site once that can be worked out by the developer and the current property owners. Moving down the list, again, as a general premise, we're looking at consolidating the various scattered zones along both Route 22 and Route 31. One of these would include the ROC district, as it's seems to be no longer be a valid zone, and it would be absorbed by a new sort of hybrid zone that includes both the township's C1, C2 zone designations and the ROM3 zone designation. In terms of, I'm now on page 13, section 3, changes and assumptions, policies and objectives. In terms of local changes that have occurred, many of the changes and assumptions that were identified in the 2015 report remain current, including a declining population. I'm just picking off a few here. Declining corporate campuses and increased traffic congestion due to traffic and development on Route 78, 31, and 22. Again, in terms of affordable housing, the township has settled since 2015, has settled with Fair Share Housing Center and in its the township's 2018 housing element fair share plan, it outlines how it is going to satisfy its various affordable housing obligations through the sites I mentioned previously. Some are under development, some have been developed, some are moving forward through the development process, and some are, again, durational adjustment sites whereby they can't be developed until the necessary water and or sewer becomes available. There have been two notable changes to the local redevelopment and housing law, including criterion B was amended to basically add that vacant shopping malls, plazas, office parks, manufacturing, and industrial sites could now be considered qualify as areas in need of redevelopment. And also a new criterion I was added that talks about similar type sites, shopping malls, plazas, office parks that are vacant for at least 2 years can also now be considered as areas in need of redevelopment in accordance with the LRHL. Some notable changes at the state policy level include, again, the issue of marijuana and where that stands. I think we're expecting there to be a vote in November as to which way the state might go. And the township should at some point think about how it wants to handle the various aspects of uses related to marijuana, including retail, medical, growth, distribution, and the other various elements of that industry. There have been some changes to performance guarantees in the state, which basically exempt certain types of development now. There is a new state mandate as far as a statement of strategy, which talks about sustainability and how the township and municipalities will address smart growth, electric vehicle charging stations, storm resiliency, and environmental sustainability. And in the land use element, we talked a little bit about that. There was a similar bill signed in 2019, which requires now municipalities to identify existing and proposed locations of public electric vehicle charging stations. And there's a new New Jersey land bank law tool available to municipalities whereby vacant, abandoned, and neglected properties can be obtained, not obtained, but acquired for redevelopment through a new process that's available. We now are on page 18, specific changes that are recommended. So again, we're now moving on from the 2015 reexamination report and 2006 land use plan element. Though we do recognize and affirm generally the goals and objectives of those documents, we also include five new goals for this 2020 reexamination report. One talks about promoting investment in commercial and non-residential uses along areas of Route 31 and Route 22. It talks about encouraging cohesive commercial and mixed-use development along those corridors as opposed to having smaller, ununified sites developed. There is the prohibition of warehouse and distribution uses, specifically along the highway corridors, as this has been determined to be a use that is not not only not desirable, but the township's highway or roadway infrastructure can't handle it and would detract from the township's quality of life and functionality if it were to be developed in such a manner. We also talk about the promotion of tourism in the township's various industries catering toward agricultural, historic, and other similar type uses, and also promoting economic development in general and sticking with the township's design guidelines and similar type considerations. There are several specific zoning recommendations. One I touched on already about consolidating the zones on the non-residential zones on Route 22, including the C2 and ROM zones. And basically what's proposed is a hybrid of those zones, which would allow those types of uses to continue, but more broadly along the town, along the corridor, allowing for promoting consistency there. Similarly, we propose consolidating the non-residential zones along Route 31 between Regional Road and Hibbler Road, again, to address some antiquated zoning there and to address the sort of piecemeal zoning that's occurred to promote a more cohesive zone and allow for greater development flexibility in that area of the township. We also, on page 23, talk about warehouse and distribution uses, and again, for the reasons that I've mentioned, the township aims to prohibit such uses along the highway corridors. There's been a strong interest in developing warehouse and distribution uses in and around Putnam Township and Hunterdon County in general, given their great access to the ports and highway corridors. It's the township's desire to keep those uses out and to have them developed in more suitable locations around the township and along Route 78. We proposed several new principal uses, including distilleries, wineries, breweries, and similar type uses in appropriate locations. And also, again, as mandated by the state now, this issue of electric vehicle charging stations, and the township has a preference to allow them as accessory uses in non-residential multifamily zones, but permit them outdoors in single-family and townhouse developments. We've looked at revising the floor area requirement in the C2 zone, that it is too restrictive to allow for a supermarket, which the township would like to see be developed in a convenient location, and to also add a similar requirement in the C1 zone, as that zone is lacking such a provision. And the last recommendation has to do with rezoning certain parcels from ROM1 to RR4, and this has to do primarily to the lack of required utilities to develop any use that's permitted in the RLM 1 zone, and also due to the location of these specific parcels that are identified on the map, on map 3 on page 25. There's one more zone. We also have, I think I touched on it already, block 68, lot 3, again proposing to revert it back from its current OB1 zone to the RC zone that the township had designated it several years ago. And as John Trill mentioned, because of litigation, it had to be zoned OB1, but now both the township and homeowner aim to rezone it so it can be developed for single-family use. We're also proposing vacating a portion of Hoffman Road as identified on the map on page 29. This area, or this street basically exists as a paper street and would serve better to give a little more property and access to the non-public parcels that abut it, and particularly the one at the southerly end. There's an existing dance school, which this current paper street hinders the use and development of that site. And on page 30, we also talk about the township, continuing to look out for any strategic open space purchases. Though it doesn't have, it's used most of its funding for such uses. But, to always keep an eye out, look for grant or other funding that might be available, and also to identify public areas or lands throughout the township with a new municipal or public zone that would read well on a zoning map and would also have certain uses attached to it to preserve those areas in perpetuity. Affordable housing, I already touched on. Again, we give an overview on page 31. The township's moving full steam ahead in addressing its obligations. And on 33, we talk about the Highlands Regional Master Plan and reiterate some of the issues I've already discussed. Again, the Highlands Center designation and the land use ordinance being among the most prominent issues moving forward. On page 34, we have the map of the proposed Annandale Highlands Center, which again encompasses the area around the Annandale village area and a bit further to the west, and again to allow for greater development flexibility. We then that essentially wraps up the reexamination report, and then we go on to the new land use plan element amendment, which was not discussed at the last meeting, but we were directed to prepare this. Again,
Tom, before you go through it, explain why you and I recommended that the land use element, this amended land use element, be adopted as part of the master plan.
Sure. So one reason we did that is because of several of the new state mandates pertaining to electrical vehicle charging stations and the statement of strategy, and we thought this would be a sensible way to handle that as an amendment to the land use plan element. And also,
rather than have these as a recommendation in the reexamination report and then have to do it after, we figured we're doing it now, you might as well do them both together, correct?
Correct. And that would go for all of the policy issues identified in both the reexamination report and now the land use plan element, where they move from merely being a recommendation to now they become the policy of the township. And I'll just run through those briefly, and the board can then feel free to ask any questions if there are any at that point. So I went through the five new goals and objectives that have been prepared since the 2015 reexamination report. I'm now on page 38. I addressed those in the reexamination report discussion, and they're placed here now because, again, they're going from merely being recommended goals and objectives to now they are, in fact, goals and objectives of the township's land use plan. And then we move on to section 7.3 on page 30. Actually, it's not page 39, but section 7.3. So I'm looking at a red line version. You may have different page numbers. We talk about the rezoning of block 68, lot 3, which again I mentioned several times now, the new hybrid commercial and ROM zone consolidation on Route 22. Similarly, the non-residential zone consolidations along Route 31, the redevelopment of properties along Gray Rock Road. These sites and uses have seemed to, they no longer really apply to the OB2 office building district, which there isn't such a demand there. And so the township seeks to think about other ways how this area of the township should develop. And look at those opportunities moving forward, including an area in need of redevelopment designation and plan. We have also looked at the Cullman site, Block 7, Lot 33, adjacent to or near within walking distance to Lebanon train station, and to consider redevelopment opportunities there that would take advantage of its location, again, in proximity to the train station, and that it is currently served by public water and sewer service. We note the Highlands Land Use Ordinance that, again, a draft has been prepared as part of the Highlands conformance process, and that the board will see at some point once we're able to refine it and address certain issues there, and that's referenced as another planning item. We also have touched on the center designation around the Annandale Village section. We have a new statement of strategy as mandated by New Jersey now, which identifies the issue of smart growth pertaining to electric vehicle charging stations. And again, reiterating what I had said before, that they would be allowed as an accessory use in non-residential multifamily zones, not permitted outdoors, and that the township is going to assess the feasibility of installing charging stations on public property. And we can determine where, if any, locations are appropriate. Storm resiliency as an issue is township's going to continue its normal procedures and working with the Highlands and the county and various other agencies. And it's noted that the township is not, while it has floodplains associated with certain waterways, it's not prone to coastal flooding given that it is in the Highlands region. With regard to environmental sustainability, the township's addressing this through its participation and conformance with the Highlands Regional Master Plan and its promotion of solar panels in its development regulations. We reiterate the point about warehouse and distribution uses about being prohibited, and again, now that they're in the land use plan amendment, they're no longer, it's no longer a recommendation, but now they are prohibited as a policy position. And similarly with uses pertaining to distilleries, wineries, and breweries, these are now recognized as uses to be promoted in inappropriate locations, most likely around the areas of Route 22 and 31. We identify the maximum floor area requirement, again, amending that in the C2 zone to allow for the development of a shopping or a grocery store, and also expanding that.
Just to specify something, when you say this is recommending that the ordinances be changed to incorporate this,
correct. So it's a policy statement that the ordinance should be recommended. So the ordinances have not changed for any of these specific items. These are their policies, and yes, still recommendations, but they have a little more strength than a reexamination report would offer. Thank you, John, for clarifying that. And again, so with this specific provision, we've recommended that it be expanded to the C1 zone. And last but not least, all of these various changes should be then reflected on the township's zoning map, including the Highland areas, and also the with respect to creating new public or municipal zones. So thank you all for hearing me out and going through those various changes. I'd be glad to answer any questions at this point.
You did a very, very thorough job. Thank you so much.
Definitely not too thorough. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Really very thorough.
Anyone have any questions for Tom? You may not, because you guys asked an awful lot of questions during the work session, but this is the required public hearing, and this is really for the benefit of the public. And again, why don't you ask again if any members of the public are out there?
Yeah, let me just do another poll here. Are any members of the public on the call?
Does not appear to be the case.
I'm not here. Right. And I think, Tom, I mean, I know you sent the drafts around. You incorporated all of those detailed suggestions from the work session. I do appreciate that. I think that's why nobody has any further comments or concerns, because I think they were all incorporated.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin. Thank you, and I appreciate the comments, and, you know, it made the document better, so thank you.
So, Kevin, what I did, was presumptuous again, and I drafted a resolution. By the way, as we're going forward, until we, you know, get back to some normalcy where we all show up at a physical meeting, I may have to do this more now, like do the resolution ahead of time, not because I'm trying to push the board into a certain decision, but because it makes it easier to explain on the phone. And so I drafted another proposed resolution, assuming that the board was going to vote to adopt the 2020 reexamination report and the 2020 land use plan element of the master plan. Now, this resolution, after hearing Tom testify, I want to make a couple changes. So if you guys have this in front of you, my third whereas paragraph, I'm going to read it and then read the change. Right now it says, whereas after preparation of the initial draft of the periodic reexamination report, the committee formed the opinion that the land use plan element of the master plan, which was last amended by the board on June 7, 2018, to bring it into consistency with the 2018 housing plan element and fair share plan element of the master plan, should be amended at this time and not simply be listed and included as a recommendation in this reexamination report. And then I want to add, pursuant to NJSA 40:55B-28, that's the statutory authority for amending the master plan. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth whereas paragraph, I'm going to read it. I've kind of rewritten part of it. So I'm going to read I'm going to read what I want to say. I'll read it slower. Whereas upon conclusion, and again, this assumes you guys are voting yes, so don't, you know, think that I'm trying to force any result. Whereas upon the conclusion of the public hearing, the board determined that the periodic reexamination report should be adopted as it contains information and recommendations, not as it contains, to contain information and recommendations prescribed by NJSA 40:55B-89, comma, and that the land use plan element should be adopted to make changes recommended in the 2020 periodic reexamination report, and because it will guide the use of lands in the municipality in a manner which protects public health and safety, or promotes the general welfare in accordance with NJSA 40:55B-28. And then we then have the now therefore be it resolved. I'm not changing that. And in the last be it further resolved, which directs the board secretary on who to send this to, instead of having the last part of the sentence be and the Hunterdon County Planning Board, we now have to add something. The Hunterdon County Planning Board and the Office of Planning Advocacy, not more than 30 days after the adoption of this resolution. So that is the proposed resolution, and the reason I wanted to read these changes into the record, because if the board votes to adopt this document, just like with that hearing on the application, I would like the board to authorize Denise to sign this once I make these changes that I just read into the record and email it out to her later tonight. I don't want to have to wait till next month, in other words, to adopt the resolution.
Okay. Anybody have any questions on that?
John, it's Bill. A question on the second warehouse, a really minor one, so forgive me. It talks that it was thwarted so a committee was formed. Should we be specific? Was it an ad hoc committee or an informal committee? Because I don't think we kind of did it. It was an ad hoc committee. Good point. So an ad hoc committee was formed. Very good.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Doesn't sound like it. Okay. So
someone would make a motion to adopt.
Make a motion
to adopt the 2020 reexamination report and the 2020 land use plan element of the master plan.
So moved, Mr. Lazarus.
Okay, Mr. Lazarus.
Is there a second?
It's John.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
Denise, again, when Kevin asks you to call the roll, please go slow.
Yes.
Yeah, roll call, slowly.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes. Oh, man.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Shaikh?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay.
Now, John, do we need to do a separate vote for the resolution, or was that included in this all in one?
That was included in this motion.
That was included.
For the record, the motion to grant that prior application, the resolution was included in that one also.
Okay.
Correct. Which is a nice part of having the resolution mostly worked up beforehand.
Yeah. Which generally is not a good practice, but yeah.
No, I understood, but yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Sue, I vote yes, too.
Oh, I didn't know you came back, Sue.
Oh, yeah, she's back. Oh, man.
Oh, I did not know that. Thank you. I have you. No, I didn't. I missed her. Right in front of my face.
She was hiding behind the column.
Yep. Under the table.
There you go.
All right, so we got Sue, we got everybody. Let's do the vouchers. I don't want everyone to get cauliflower here on the phone here. I've reviewed them. They were out in the share drive. I'm okay with them. Does anybody have any questions or concerns on the vouchers?
I'll make the motion to the vouchers, Mr. Lazarus.
Thank you.
I second it.
Okay, Ms. Kleinhand.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhand.
I second.
Okay, roll call. Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Shaikh?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay. We're really about wrapped up here. Any reports of any substance anybody want to make there? Mr. Mayor, anything of note for the council? Or?
Well, it's more about the virus, actually, if you want a little praise. The township offices will be closed to casual visitors to do something that's urgent, an appointment. Building inspections will... for the urgent things, particularly like Ingerman, who's just in the throes of completion between now and the end of the month, and Fraud, who is busy pouring concrete for the foundation. Mike will probably not enter homes unless it's linked to somebody's, I don't know, water heater or something. Put it in, we'll come back and out after the fact. Police, fire inspectors,
put protocols in to deal with the public. And, particularly the fire department, all banded together, about five or six of them. Nice job on that. Oh, gosh, while we were the darn note out, let me just make sure I didn't miss anything significant. You know, we're looking at internal backups. It's an oddball thing for death certificates. We have to reach out to another town. And we are going to move to meetings as quickly as we can for counts. The larger ones are, and by the way, Kevin, thank you very much for using your telecom grid. Our township one is limited to about five people. We've urged our township committees and commissions for unnecessary meetings. Do need to meet them. Have a few people call in. Everybody has to be there. We want to be spread out. We had a good session with the Route 78 22 mayors. There's nine of us that get together, and looks like we'll have a standing call for the next few days, week or something like that. Janice is well connected with the league and the state. Trishka is number two on the bannerhead for the lawyers for the leagues, getting advice there. And, you know, our emphasis first is, of course, health and safety for employees, followed by make sure that we keep them whole for any financial loss they may incur because of a quarantine. And third priority is that we do our best to continue services to our employees and employers. So lots of balls up in the air. I'm glad the state, all glad that the state came out with their emergency, second emergency declaration today, which, how would I say this? We didn't have to do it in terms of restaurants and bars and all that sort of thing. So that was a happy thing. So we'll learn more over the next few days, few weeks. Hopefully, these preemptive actions done early will, you know, flatten the curve and mitigate the, you know, the bad effects of this virus. That's the big deal that's going on.
John, just one thing. In looking at the website, I've got four different pages, four different windows open of the website, and only one of them is showing your message.
No, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, the way it's set up, it's like a tab all the way at the top, and every time I keep opening it, it's covered by, like, the top of the page. So it's not there.
I just sent a lengthy note out to council with all the various emergency orders and that memo. The memo that's on the website is we cooked up very quickly today. I think Carla did that. I look upon that as a placeholder just to get a little bit of word out.
Okay.
There'll be a much more detailed one coming tomorrow, and with your advice, thank you, we'll make sure that it gets excellent visibility.
Yes, yes, thank you. Yeah, because I had also asked that a message be put on for my meeting tonight, and when you click on the link for this meeting, the page can't be found. But I didn't know that until I got here. So, I mean, there, we all have a lot going on, but I just wanted to point it out just to make sure that, because the note on the front door says to check the website, and I don't know that people are able to get anything on the website right now.
I will come down and visit with all this tomorrow and make sure that when Steve puts it up, it is, you know, right in people's faces. I would also say that we had about eight of nine towns on the call today, and pretty much everybody along the corridors. So it's nice to be able to leverage the relationship that we created with this group over the last couple of years. Everybody knows each other. We work well together, and it really shows us, I think, well in a situation like this. And, in fact, other towns are asking Mark Salek to join it. We're a little nervous about that. Nine or ten people we could talk with, 20 people we can't.
Good.
And that's really all I've got. You know, council is pretty quiet.
All right. Well, unless anybody has anything else, I think that's the more pressing thing now to there. And I do appreciate everyone's flexibility to work through this less than optimal way to do it, but still a successful phone meeting.
Just real quick, in regard to this whole coronavirus issue, I blame the mayor.
Oh, yeah, Nick was out there.
make a snarky comment.
Let me bring up an issue which, okay, so we were able to do this meeting totally telephonically because, A, even though we had a hearing, and generally I had written an article in 2014 during the hurricane, and we did some administrative meetings, meaning no hearings, but just administrative business telephonically. In my article, I rendered an opinion that to do a hearing, you need audio and video. So I figured that this was non-controversial because the hearing on NOVACAT was a non-notice public hearing because it was a site plan waiver which doesn't require notice, and it was a modification of an important but a not significant condition, so it didn't need notice. Now, the re-exam and the master plan needed notice, but no one from the public was calling in, and there weren't any exhibits. And so even if they called in, I had no problem with that. But if we get into the situation where we have an application, which is even a little complicated or that has a lot of exhibits, we're going to have to figure out a way to do it with audio and video. And just so you know, I've had like 4 video conferences today on Zoom, and they're overwhelmed, and they were crashing left and right. So maybe someone out there who is more sophisticated than me when it comes to IT can figure out what type of service we can get. So if we do have to hold a hearing on an application for development, if this thing gets prolonged, you know, into May or something, that we have, that we're not like inventing the wheel when it happens, but thought about it ahead of time.
Tom, let me ask if a kind of a hybrid construct would be appropriate. If the board members are equipped with all of the visuals that would be on display to the public, would it be legal to allow the public? We get, 5 people in 75 seats. Allow the public in, ask them to spread themselves apart, and have several of us there physically. Of course, our experts are physically to present the information in both visual and verbal with some of our board members at home equipped with the visuals that, you know, are going to be on display. Is that acceptable?
Yeah, that's a great idea, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we just do the audio stuff then, and the public has that, believe verbally. Because we're not going to, honestly, we're not terribly sophisticated in the town, and I'm pretty confident that, gosh, if we waited to get all this right, we'll miss the next council meeting. We maybe would miss Tom's presentation of the master plan to council and all. And as much as we can within the bounds of reason and safety, it would be good to continue business pretty much as normal.
And let me tell you what we're doing in Raritan Township. Now, they have a more sophisticated system where people can not just call in, but they can log in on their computers, and they can see through the cameras in the courtroom. So there we're having we're going to spread people out. On Thursday, we're going to do a bare bones of experts. So it's just going to be me and the township engineer. We're going to have some board members at home, some there, but the applicant's team is going to be there, and they're going to have to spread themselves out also. So it's okay. Kind of what you're suggesting, but the difference is they have this video system. But I think that yours is a great idea. If we take the board members and put them on the telephone and have the other people there, I think that's a great way around it.
Yeah, and, you know, if board members want to come, everybody's got different sensitivities in terms of emotion and medical conditions. At least give everybody the ability, you know, to sequester themselves at home for it. And some folks, like myself, I don't know, I just show up. But have the choices available for our volunteers, our board members, and then just do the right thing when for the public and for the expert, the applicant. So I'm going to ask you, I'll be talking to Trishka tomorrow, and perhaps you know, that you can huddle just a little bit and make sure everybody's comfortable, and you know, we'll carry on that way.
All right, that sounds good.
Okay, and John, while we were having this meeting, Tom McCaffrey emailed me because we have a scheduled zoning board meeting this coming Monday. We don't have any applications to be heard. So it can be totally
over the phone, like so, just like we did tonight.
That's what I wanted to ask. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I told him I would get back to him.
Yeah, and tell him that we did it tonight with the planning board totally on the phone, and I'm totally fine with it.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, good. But they're not as good as we are, John, so
you say that. Fair if I were you.
I didn't hear that.
I'm not saying anything. I'm taking the fifth.
Okay. All right.
You know what time
it is. So, is there does someone want to make a motion here to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn, Lazarus.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I think I heard Sue.
Yeah, I'll take Sue. Is that?
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed or abstain? Okay, everybody. Wash your hands. Stay safe.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
You too, Kevin.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care.